This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 120 of BookCareers.com Live. This month has been Stress Awareness Month. One thing we've seen an increase of in the Book Careers office is a number of people turning to us for support as they've got work-related stress as a result of remote working. Now, some of the advice that follows might feel like it's coming a little late in the day as plans are being made to return to the workplace, but here are some things you can do today to help combat work-related stress, whether it's down to remote working or something else. The Health and Safety Executive defines stress as the adverse reaction people have to excessive pressures or other types of demand placed on them at work. Now, stress isn't an illness, it's a state. However, if stress becomes too excessive and prolonged, it can cause mental and physical illness. I cannot emphasise enough that there is a difference between pressure and stress. Pressure, when you have to meet deadlines or deliver work to a certain standard, can be healthy and extremely motivating. And you could be like me. I know I'm a person who thrives under pressure. I work best to deadlines, and when I don't have deadlines, I tend to flounder. Stress occurs when this pressure might become excessive or there is interference, whether it's another person or a circumstance, which frustrates or stops you working, whether that's pressurised working or not. But here are a few tips to get you through to the other side. Number one, surprisingly, is to stop work. Pause. Take a break. Take a step back. I know you don't have the time to do this because it's probably 11:59 a.m. and your deadline is 12 noon, but as soon as you can stop, then stop. You are not getting anywhere nor helping anyone by carrying on as you are. If you're worried about being fired, you're probably more likely to get fired for underperformance or poor quality work than you are by taking a 15 to 20 minute break. If you're in a situation where you're being monitored for presenteeism, which in itself can be a source of stress, pretend your internet has gone down for 30 minutes and take yourself offline. I know many companies have given staff permission to take a mental health day. Now is the time for you to take it. Stand up and walk away from your computer, take a deep breath, and if you can, go outside and get some fresh air. Continue to breathe deeply. Breathing deeply is a great stress reliever. Take a cup of tea or coffee or a non-alcoholic beverage of your choice and just give yourself a break. Understand that whatever you're doing to compensate for the stress is not working. Whether it's working late, starting earlier, putting in extra hours, it is not working. That's right. Putting in extra hours, working through the night, does not work. It does not help you. It does not help your employer. All it does is exasperate your stress, make you more tired, and produce lower quality work. Parkinson's Law comes in here. Parkinson's Law states that the work expands to the time we allow to fill it. So if you know you're going to work late this evening, maybe an extra 3 or 4 hours, your work will expand to fill that time. It won't necessarily be any better quality work, nor will you get any more accomplished. Notice how we always manage to get work done and speed up before we go on holiday? That is Parkinson's Law. We've reduced the time, so we speed up. So by making more time, you're just going to slow down. Now back to your break. Listen to the sounds around you. Try not to focus on the negative sounds like neighbours arguing, kids screaming, unless it sounds like they're going to throttle each other. And try to find the regular noises, such as the traffic going by, the bird song, the hum of electrical equipment, or the pattering of the rain. And aim to empty your head of the sheer madness which is going on around you. If you've taken a mental health day or hour, then go and do something completely different for as long as you can. But give yourself about 30 minutes to go forward into the next tips. Tip number 2 is to write everything down that is in your head. This isn't so much a to-do list, it is a brain dump. All those things you're terrified you will forget, whether it's work-related, childcare or family-related, or simply making an appointment to see the dentist. Write it all down. Do a brain dump. Whilst it's floating around in your head and you're terrified you will forget it, it will give you no peace. You won't be able to focus and you definitely won't be able to switch off. You'll be walking the floor at 3 a.m. in the morning, having conversations in the mirror. I'm afraid I know those all too well. Or even worse, getting out of bed at 3 a.m., switching on the computer and doing something you really feel you should have done during the day. The benefit of writing it all down means you can focus on one thing at one time. It might be really scary to see all you have to do, but at least when it's on paper, you can easily prioritise it and put it in a coherent order. Which brings us on to number 3, prioritising work. If you read any time management or productivity book, they will tell you to handle one piece of type paper, one email at a time, and action it, even if your action is to action it later. The book Getting Things Done describes this as processing, and so does the book The Productivity Ninja. While Declan Tracy's book Clear Your Desk says there are only 4 actions you can take on any item: action, read, pass on, bin. I love that. I still work to that sometimes. But be ruthless. If you can delegate or forward things on, even if all you are doing by forwarding things or asking a question, even if all you're doing with these is stalling when you have to take action, do it. And if in doubt, remember the delete key is your friend. If the list of things to do feels insurmountable, choose only one thing to do which will make you feel better. Whether that's high priority or low priority, pick the one thing that will help make you feel better. Whether it's washing the kitchen floor, answering an email to the MD, or responding to the troublesome author. Remember that doing something like washing the kitchen floor first could give you the thinking time you need to plan out in your head the difficult email to the troublesome author, which is multitasking at its finest. Number 4, create a new working routine and stick to it. If you're going to work 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. with 30 minutes for lunch, then stick to this. Set an alarm on your phone or computer so that you take regular breaks, 50 minutes at a computer screen, and really you need to get up and walk around. So make sure you're having those regular breaks throughout the day too. and make sure you get up and walk around at your lunchtime. At the end of the day, do another brain dump of everything you still need to action so it isn't in your head. If there are critical tasks you haven't done, and yes, they will take you 5 minutes to action, read on, pass on, or bin them, then do them. But please do not spend any more than an extra 30 minutes a day doing this. What is done, and what isn't done has to wait. Ah, you say, if I haven't done everything, I will be in big trouble. No, if you haven't done everything, the company needs to readdress your workload. So raise the issues of work overload with your line manager. It shouldn't be your sole responsibility to carry this burden. And your health comes first in all of this. Without good health, you have nothing. Because what I think everyone has forgotten is that for many, remote working creates an intensity of work that we do not get when we work in a collective workspace such as an office. In an office, you can pause, have brief moments of humour with colleagues, answer quick questions, which I'm sorry, cannot be replicated on chat streams, no matter how hard you try. You have little interruptions all day, and they all help bring some welcome relief. You don't get this from working at home. I remember having a conversation with a freelancer who had gone into an office job as an employee, and they were completely shocked at what went on. The first question they asked me was, how does anyone in an office ever get any work done? And commented, I get about 10 times more work done in an hour at home than I do during the office during the day. Obviously, that was before Zoom meetings, but I think you get the idea. Working from home is tough. It suits some, it doesn't suit others. And as we know from Zoom calls, all remote working is not equal. Some are well spaced out with dedicated home offices, and others are living in shared accommodation and perched on the end of their bed. Tip number 5 is probably the most critical part of recovering from any work-related stress, and that is a good night's sleep. Create a good sleep routine, and there is loads of advice on this elsewhere all over the internet, but what you need to do is ensure that everything that is floating around your head is on paper. Do that brain dump again. You'll probably find that keeping a journal will help too. A private paper journal where you write by hand so there's no screen time, and keep it under the mattress in your bedroom, nice and private and not for publication or sharing. And it's a very good practice to have. But most importantly, those things that are bugging you, which you don't want to forget and are stopping your mind from switching off, need to be written down so your brain can forget them, at least for a few hours. Now, I can't remember where I read this, but this is such a great idea. It is about training your brain to close down to a certain piece of music. For those of us old enough to remember The Sweeney, a TV cop show which starred John Thor and Dennis Waterman, it had two versions of its theme tune. The first opening theme was fast, dramatic, punchy, and the closing theme tune was the same music but played in a relaxing, melodic and somber in nature way. You need to find a piece of music that is your closing theme tune and set an alarm on your phone with that music. Use this to create a good sleep strategy that you will stick to every night, whether a school night or not. This music should be the trigger which allows your brain to start to unwind and get ready for bed, and go to bed at the same time every day too, whether it's a school night or not. Our bodies love routines like this. And if you have a find you have a bad night and that's exasperating your stress during the day, arrange some quiet time during the day, probably after lunch, where you go and lie down in a quiet room for 25 minutes. You can set a timer so you can fall asleep if you wish, but no screen time during that 25 minutes. This power nap or power relax will help you without hopefully impacting on your evening sleep. Now, these are only a handful of the many strategies that can help you overcome stress related to working from home. If you're in a work-related stress situation, please come and talk to me now. Don't leave it to fester. We can go through things together and create personal strategies for you to work to and ensure you are on track. And I'd much rather talk to you now or at the beginning when you first feel stressed rather than after you've been signed off sick for a prolonged period and need support getting back to work. Though, of course, wherever you are in your stress journey, I'm here to help. And my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com.
Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter @BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.